I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. More on the word Negro. Who would have thought we'd be spending so much time talking about this word? But the census is offering the option of describing oneself as Negro once again as a race identifier, and some people take issue with that. We'll hear more about that in a minute. But first, the term popped up again, as you may have heard, because Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid privately said that he thought President Obama, now President Obama, was a great candidate in part because he is, I quote, light-skinned, end quote, with no Negro dialect, unless he wanted to have one. He made this comment to reporters, picked it up, and it surfaced in a new book recently published. Well, Reid apologized to the president, and the president accepted the apology, but RNC Chairman Michael Steele, among other Republicans, is saying this is racist and Reid should step down. But others are saying, was Harry Reid really wrong? Omar Wasso just published a piece in the online journal The Root saying, was Harry Reid right? Mr. Wasso is currently a PhD candidate in African American Studies and Government at Harvard University. He's one of the founders of BlackPlanet.com, and he joins us now on the phone from Cambridge. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me.
You wrote that the substance of Reid's comments is spot on. How so?
Well, there are two core points that Reid is making. One is that a light-skinned candidate has better odds of winning than a darker-skinned candidate, and that talking with a sort of a black dialect or speaking kind of black English might have negative consequences politically. And both, there's strong evidence in research that suggests Reid is right. So, for example, there's a political scientist who did a study where she presented people, white voters, were randomly given a candidate, a governor's candidate, where the descriptions were exactly the same except for one detail, which is that some people got a white candidate, some people got a light-skinned black candidate, and some people got a dark-skinned black candidate. And as you might predict, the lighter-skinned candidate did significantly better than the darker-skinned candidate in her study. And so that's the kind of evidence that suggests that Reid is actually talking about something that's a real dynamic in American politics.
And we could parse this whole question of whether Obama is light-skinned or not. And I don't know how interesting it would be, but I am puzzled by that because he is identifiably African-American. I don't think there's any question about his racial identity.
These are subtle things, but it's, you know, there's clearly a continuum of color in the black community. And to use the term that is very commonly used in the black community about, you know, people being color struck, this country is definitely very conscious of those sorts of gradations, even though we don't tend to talk about them much. And so while you're right that Obama is clearly of African descent, he's much fairer than, say, Wesley Snipes. And that's the kind of subtlety that, in some form or another, people seem to respond to when they're in the voting booth.
And you did also mention the point about linguistics 101, that everybody's style shifts or code switches depending on the context, politicians especially. So, but what about the pushback that he's receiving, that this was racist, as it were, that Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, we've just been talking about his problems, said on Meet the Press this weekend that there's a double standard at work, that had Reid been a Republican, he would be criticized more than he is now. I'll just play the short clip so you can hear what he had to say.
When Democrats get caught saying racist things, an apology is enough. If that had been Mitch McConnell saying that about an African-American candidate for president of the United States, trust me, this chairman and the DNC would be screaming for its head, very much as they were with Trent Lott. But I can assure you that if I had, as national chairman, said that, well, it's all behind us and he's apologized, let's move on, no one would be accepting that. There has to be a consequence here if the standard is the one that was set in 2002
and
with Trent Lott.
Is the consequence that Senator Reid should step down as majority leader?
I believe it is. From my perspective, whether he steps down today or I retire him in November, either way, he will not be the leader in 2011.
Do you buy that, Omar, that this is comparable to Trent Lott's comments saying that the world would be a better place if Strom Thurmond had been elected president when he ran in 1948?
What's remarkable is that Steele is making an argument of sort of moral equivalence between Reid and Lott. And when you look at the intention, when you look at the context, when you look at the content, they're not equivalent at all. And the conservative critics have often criticized the left for sort of this inability to make distinctions in moral hierarchies. And there's nothing racist in what Reid said. He used an archaic term, but he was describing a sort of kind of realpolitik of race in America. There's nothing in racist about that. Whereas Lott's statement that that America would be better off if a segregationist candidate had won, and that the problems we've seen wouldn't exist, is in intention and in content of substantively different. It is sort of advocating segregation, and so there's no moral equivalence.
Well, what about the question of stupidity? I mean, do you think that in this day and age, perhaps the Senate Majority Leader, the leader of the majority party in the Senate, ought to know better? Or do you think not? If he's just speaking the truth, it doesn't matter, in your view.
Well, it was not smart to say this to journalists. This is a conversation that you have, behind closed doors as, again, a kind of realpolitik. But it doesn't strike me as stupid in the sense as it's somehow unsavvy about race in America. I think, in fact, what's more striking to me is that it reflects a level of nuance in understanding how race and politics interact that I wouldn't have expected from Harry Reid.
And what kind of reaction are you getting to your piece? I know it's just recently out, but I'm just curious, what are people saying?
Yeah, it's been, a lot of people make the comment that there's the double standard, and I reject that. But a lot of people have said, thank you. This is, it's like people are making a mountain out of a molehill. And, to pick up on your point about the census as well, there are organizations like the United Negro College Fund, like the Council of Negro Women that use the term Negro. And so there's this inability by, I think, the broader really a lot of the media, but also of people like Steele, to make distinctions between how people use certain words. Negro can be an epithet in some contexts, but generally it can be a pretty neutral term or even a term of endearment. And we should be sophisticated enough to tell which way it's being used.
That was Omar Wasso. He helped launch BlackPlanet.com. Now he is pursuing a PhD in African American Studies and Government at Harvard. And he was kind enough to join us on the phone from Cambridge. If you want to read the piece we're talking about, we'll have a link on our website. Omar, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.